Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. And I've been very moved as I've been sharing accounts of what happened in the last few hours of the Lord Jesus' life. We've been looking at what happened that final night, and most people refer to it as Good Friday, the time that Jesus had the Passover supper with his disciples, and when he washed their feet. And so I would just like to continue on that so we can kind of just meditate and think about what the Lord Jesus did for us and what it must have been like those final hours when he was last with his disciples. Because as we are soon approaching that glorious day of remembrance, the day of his resurrection, that because he lives, we are alive also. We can live and enjoy life eternally with the God of heaven and earth because of what Jesus did. His birth is wonderful to celebrate Christmas, isn't it? Because that's when Jesus was born. But there is nothing more glorious. This is the most central feature of the entire Christian faith, the fact of his death and resurrection. Everything of our Christian faith hinges on that in fact he did die. So I'm going to, if you have your Bibles, you just might want to spend a little time with me in the Gospel of John. We've been in the 13th chapter. They've had the Passover supper. He's washed their feet. And he says in verse 21, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And Jesus, and then of course they said, Jesus, John was asking, lying on Jesus' breast, he said, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And then when he did that, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. And then Jesus said unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Now no man at the table knew what intent he spake this unto him. And some of them thought he was going to buy something for the feast or give something to the poor. And in verse 31, he says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So as we go back to this Passover night, that Passover feast was celebrated, and then a new sacred ceremony for the ages was instituted called the Lord's Table or Communion. This will now soon begin, and it'll be a special meeting place for those who love the Lord and have been cleansed by his precious shed blood. It's probably 9 o'clock in the evening in the upper room. And after the washing of the disciples' feet, our Lord addresses himself to Judas Iscariot. While he had a right to be present at the Passover, he has no right to be present at this new feast, this new sacrament that Jesus is instituting for his church. So Judas goes out into the night. So now there's the 11 that remain with the Lord gathered around the table, and all of them are being born again into the family of God. And they will need a special spiritual meeting place with him, for soon he has to return to the heavens. He returns to his Father, as I shared in those verses of scripture from whence he came. So the communion table will be the meeting place. It will be called communion, the Lord's table. Well, what happened that night? The remains of the food that was used at Passover, the Passover feast, was still before them. The lamb, the bread, the wine, the bitter herbs. And from these, Christ selects two simple elements, bread and wine, to which he gives a new meaning as symbols. They are to represent his presence and to remind the disciples and all believers of what is soon to take place on the cross. What does he do? He takes the bread and breaks it. Holding it forth, he explains that this is a symbol of his body broken for them. Of course, this will not apply to each occasion whenever they eat bread, but only when they do so in this memorial feast, when they deliberately sit down to this symbolical and simple feast of love and thanksgiving, these elements will represent his sacrifice. And the disciples understood that. The bread was not really his body, for his body was still present before them. But as time went on, the bread would be a type of his body, and not only his body, but his broken body, that his body that was sacrificed for them. They saw the horrors of what he went through. Only the Lord himself knew the depths of suffering involved, which very soon awaited him in the next few hours. Then he took the cup. Using the wine of the Passover feast, Jesus gave it new meaning. His blood was thus to be represented, the blood of the new covenant, that marvelous new agreement between God and man. Hallelujah. The wine was poured out wine. There was no change in the elements, but the wine of communion was a type of the cleansing, pardoning, forgiving agent of the blood of the Lamb of God. As they partook, they would be reminded that the matter of sin had been dealt with forever. So, beloved, the Lord's table was a meeting place. Those who believed could come as often as they would. At the place of broken bread and poured out wine, there would be rich fellowship in remembering Jesus. Perhaps the Lord's heart was warmed as prophetically he looked down through the centuries to see you and I, to see how we would come to his table to remember him until his return. Oh, beloved, who can estimate the weight and the burden that Jesus bore that night, the weight of the world's sin? Yet this was the anguish that the Lord was soon to bear on the cross, and it would have been understandable if he'd asked earnestly for comfort from the man with whom he had journeyed and lived for nearly almost 4 years. But no, instead, what did he do? He sought to comfort them. His concern was for their spiritual survival, and one of the most tenderest and compassionate messages the whole Bible, Christ bears his deep love, his affection for his own beloved disciples as he faces the cross. We see that in the 13th and 14th, 15th, 16th chapters of John. And he ignored his own human need, for he was the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. And he talks to them in great depth and movingly from the depths of his loving concern. Soon they were going to be sheep without a shepherd. Shortly the enemy would come and scatter the flock. What could he say to help them? How could he dispel their fears? It's growing late. His hour's very near. Well, what does he do? First, he tells them of the Father's house. Oh, how comforting those scriptures have been to untold generations of Christians. It's a spacious, filled, a glorious place filled with many mansions. Soon he's going to go there, and in going, he will prepare a place for them and for us. Then he'll come again and receive them unto himself. That's John 14 and verses 1 through 6. Surely those are encouraging words. In fact, why don't we just read that? John 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." In verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What encouraging words these are to us even today. It was true that he had to leave them, but then another wonderful person was going to come that he and the Father would send, and this person would take up his abode in them. His ministry would be to represent Christ, to teach them all the rest of the truth, and to show them things to come. His name is the Holy Spirit, and he was to be their holy guest, their guide. And there are references in John the 14th chapter, verse 16. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then in the 15th chapter, verses 26 and 27, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, whom the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Praise God. And then, of course, in the 16th chapter of John, verses 1 through 14, there's a great deal the Lord says about the Holy Spirit, but I won't take the time to read that. Difficult times lay ahead for them. Christ's cause would arouse many enemies. Strong hostility, even death, awaited them. But the disciples were not to despair, for in reality, Christ had truly overcome the world. His victory would be apparent in God's good time. The key to success was to be found in a simple formula. They were to abide in Christ. We can think of it like this. Christ is the vine, and we, his followers, are the branches. Perhaps even then, a branch was growing up the side of the building, even reaching into the window of the upper room. One can understand that the only purpose of the vine is to bear fruit. A vine's no good for lumber. It's, you know, you can't build anything with it. No fruit could appear on a branch unless there was uninterrupted communication and cooperation with the vine. This is the lesson of fruit bearing. Abide in me. Oh, beloved, there's such rich spiritual truths here that I shared with you. The Lord looks affectionately upon the 11. They were his, but they also were the forerunners of multiplied millions who would be brought to him through their testimony and that of their successors down through the years. He would continue to love them as would his Father. Now he leaves as his legacy to them his peace, and he leaves his peace with us. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for the wonderful gifts you have given us, the Holy Spirit, your peace, your joy. You've overcome the world. You are the Lord of life, and we praise you for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, my time has come to an end, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. You have no idea how excited I am when I go to the post office to see who's written. You UCM partners, I dearly love you and appreciate you and thank you for your financial help. And there's many new listeners I know the Lord wants to write. Get in contact and I know you'll be blessed. I love you, my spiritual family. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying may God's best for everyone.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,